أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الصلاة والسلام على محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Continuing with our look at Qul Kuna, today we will look at Surah number 109, which is Surah Al-Kafirun. Kufr in essence means to cover up. And a kafir is one who covers up the truth and tries to destroy it. This surah is directed at those who lived with the Prophet ﷺ. Now these were the people of Makkah to whom the Prophet explained monotheism, a way of living, a way of conduct. That was a win-win situation for all, and that each one was accountable. He explained it to them softly, never retaliated, but he was abused, he was mocked, and now they make a proposal. Because they figured out he wouldn't stop and the only solution was to compromise. In essence, they just didn't get it. But before we go there, you've got to understand that this surah is clearly related to the previous one, which ends us by reminding the Prophet that in actuality it is his enemies, those who cover up the truth, who will be bereft of any legacy or any posterity. This surah also begins with Qul. It is an order which says, say. And there is five surahs in the Qur'an which begins with Qul. Surah number 72, which is Surah Al-Jinn. This surah, Surah Al-Kafirun. Surah number 112, which is Surah Al-Ikhlas. And the last two, Surah Al-Falaq and Surah Al-Nas. So let's first look at the focus. In essence, this is the first time identity is defined by religion. Today, we are very familiar with this concept. But at times before, you were identified by the tribe you came from or the place you came from. So there's a clear declaration by the Prophet declaring himself independent, identifying himself as a Muslim and them as kafirun, those who cover up the truth and reject monotheism, which is tawheed, nubuwa, which is guidance, and ma'ad, which is accountability. So let's look a little bit of the background. A party of the Quraysh come to the Prophet with a proposal of compromise. They propose that they and the Muslims should both agree to worship each other's gods. So their proposal was that for 1 year the Muslims should worship what the kuffar worshipped, and for the next year the kuffar would worship he whom the Muslims worshipped, and then the pattern would be repeated again. They, the Quraysh, believed that this way both parties would be able to live in harmony. Here Allah directs the Prophet to inform them that he does not worship that which they worship. It's straight talk, decisive, clear and explicit without any reservations. And the statement of rejection is repeated just as the proposal contained repetition to continue the practice over a couple of years. It is a very clear indication that there can be no compromise in the truth. Let's just understand a little bit of the psyche of the Quraysh. They didn't say we reject Allah. The Quran indicates several questions where they're asked, who created the heavens and the earth? And they would say Allah. So they believed in a divine creator, but did not agree to the terms of ubudiyyah. They wished to define the terms themselves rather than be dictated to by divinity. Ubudiyyah, in essence, is a combination of worship and slavery. To be enslaved to none but Allah. Now with that in mind, let's look at the surah, which has two proposals and two rejections. It starts off by saying, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ. Say, O you who cover up the truth. O you who reject tawheed, monotheism, nubuwa, divine guidance, and ma'ad, accountability. But also those who deny the favours of Allah, Qufran and Ni'mah. It identifies a separation between those who believe in divinity and those who don't, and refers specifically again to those who showed animosity to the Prophet and not only rejected him, but fought with him too. And now the reply to the proposals. La a'budu ma ta'budun. I do not worship what you worship. Wa la antum a'budun ma a'bud. Nor are you worshippers of what I worship. And then a repetition of the rejection of the proposal. ولا أنا عابد ما عبدتم nor am I a worshipper of what you worship ولا أنتم عابدون ما أعبد nor are you worshippers of what I worship. Paraphrasing it, I do not worship that which you are orientated towards, neither in my process or my interaction with reality. So in essence, these ayat say, I will not be enslaved by that which you are enslaved with, nor will you enslave yourself to Allah, because it will mean freeing yourself from all other shackles. And finally, لَكُمْ دِينُكُمْ وَلِيَ دِينَ For you, your religion, and for me, my religion. The word deen comes from the Arabic word dain, which is a loan, to be recompensed with whatever you deserve, and thus Qiyamah is also known as Yawmuddin. So after a decade of explaining Tawheed in the best possible way, and no response save abuse and harassment, the surah now denounces the kuffar, breaking all ties with them. It is also an indication to the Prophet that he will be leaving Makkah for the hijrah to Medina. If you look at the surah, the main center axiom of this chapter is worship, ibadah. It's mentioned 8 times, or to be precise, in every 3 words. And this level of emphasis is not repeated anywhere else in the Quran. We've translated ibadah as worship, but in essence, it's a condition of surrender, of submission, of devotion. In Arabic, Tariq al-Mu'abbad means a road that has been paved and is now leveled. One which doesn't have bumps and potholes to make driving difficult. So in essence, ibadah is to remove the obstacles and bumps, to fill in the holes and makes the surface smooth. So when we say we are doing ibadah of Allah, it means that we are striving to make our being smooth and leveled to carry out His orders. So for example, if His command is to be generous and we're unable to be generous, then our soul has not yet been smoothed. We say 10 times a day, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ You and you alone do we do ibadah of, and you alone do we ask for help. So maybe instead of the word worship, we could use submit, surrender and obey. And finally, this surah is paired with Surah Al-Ikhlas. This and Surah Al-Ikhlas represent the statement, La ilaha illallah. There is no God except Allah. This surah represents the La ilaha part. And illallah is represented by Surah Al-Ikhlas. And both surahs together are sometimes known as Mukashkish, that which heals. So if ever you find yourself not well, whether it is an illness of the body or the soul, recite these surahs continuously, and inshallah, He will provide complete healing. Let us pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be those who are proud to be identified as Muslims, and those who are able to live and die on the creed of La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, Aliun Waliullah. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka anta as-sami'ul alim.